introduce our guest for this morning. We've got Sammy Berryman. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning.
And we have Charles Mortensen. Hi, Charles.
Good morning.
And a secret guest who's not really appeared live. His voice has been on radio, but this is his first live appearance, John Hansen.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Yes, happy to have you. Well, we're here for a reason. Charles, we know what it is. Why don't you go ahead and explain?
Well, we have the Monarch Grind coming up. It's our second gravel race of the year. We just concluded the 3/4 minus Sequel Tour in May, first part of May. Big success. We had beautiful weather, just like today, and lots of people joined us. We had a great time.
Yes.
Now we're getting ready for the next one.
All right. So we're going to talk about a couple of things before we discuss the upcoming race. First of all, who are you guys and how are you organizing these races? What is your organization and how did you get going on all of these cool gravel rides?
Well, it started when we had Syringa Cyclery, the bike shop, going, and we just did it under the auspices of the bike shop. And since we closed the bike shop, we shifted all our focus onto these gravel races, and we're now actually doing some other races, 3 other races, so 5 total.
It's really a career change for both you and Sammy, isn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, before we were trying to do it all, run the bike shop and run the bike races, and now we're fully on the bike races, which is actually a lot more fun.
Yeah, you're events people now.
Yeah.
Kind of like
so
your
we kept
rock
the,
stars.
We have the LLC going from the bike shop, and we just created a new doing business as.
So it's Syringa Productions?
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And where are you working out of? Because the bike shop was a really cool place to kind of have some of your pre-meetings.
It was. We were just doing it out of our houses, and we had this big shed over at the shop, which we moved over to Sammy's property, and Sammy has set that up really nicely. She did some painting in there, and that's kind of sort of our office. It's our storage spot for all our equipment, and we get together every now and then. And
yeah, it'll be a tax write-off.
Brainstorm.
Hang out in the shed. Sammy, can you just take a moment and tell us about the series of 3 races? One's already happened, so let's hear how that went, because it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, so that 3/4 minus, we had 2 races under that heading of an event, and like Charles said, it was a beautiful day out. I think we had about maybe 140, 150 people show up at that race, and just like last year, we had a new format for the race. And yeah, it was awesome. People were just sprinting segments, climbing segments, and then we had the aid station competition, which you guys absolutely crushed.
Yes. Should we take just a second?
We should.
And talk
yes.
about
we
it?
Should.
So we do yes. every year for this race, the 3/4 minus. We do a competition between the aid stations for the best aid station, and all the rioters vote on it. And in the past, it's always been kind of a battle between Outdoor Experience and KLT and the winery. And this year, KRFY, who used to be kind of in the background in previous years, just sort of
took it to another level.
Took
this
it
year.
To another level.
Yes.
They had this MASH theme, which, by the way, I just watched that movie last night, the original MASH movie from 1970.
Alan.
Such a great movie.
Holds
but
up.
Anyway.
Yes.
So they had, you know, they had the MASH tent. They had stretchers with like a skeleton on it. They had.
I think we had martinis coming out of IV bottles, although not technically what we do at the aid station.
Yeah.
Alcohol. I think it was fake.
Remarkable.
Alcohol.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I did the race with a friend of mine from South Carolina who came out for it. And I think it took, I think I was riding for maybe 3 hours, but I was actually out there for 5 hours. So I spent like 2 hours or something at the aid stations. They were all really good, but you guys nailed
some
it.
State of consciousness that you've forgotten now.
Yes,
now
exactly.
The third man in the room has been quiet so far, and I'd like to find out, were you involved at all? Did you race in the or ride the ride?
I have ridden all the 3/4 minuses, and this was my favorite.
Oh, good.
The aid stations and the ability to meet other people during the event Normal races, the whole event is you're on the clock. You're trying to beat your competitor, albeit I was just trying to survive. But this format, you can race and then stop and enjoy the aid stations. And to which Charles points out, they're great fun. You meet everyone that come from all over the country to race this race.
Yeah, and so John, you were a participant. Sammy, how about you?
No, I was on the ground that day just doing all of the organizational stuff. But I wanted to add that we switched it to this segment format because Charles and John had attended a race similar to this called the Bovine Classic in San Luis Obispo area.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Where was it?
It was in Atascadero. San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, so they attended this race and they came back and they were so happy about it. And they're like, we've got to do this. We've got to add this somehow.
And you did.
That year we switched up the format and, you know, it's always kind of nerve-wracking. Three Quarter Minus is the longest race that we've had going, a part of our three gravel series races. So that's been going since 2018 or 19?
2019 was the first year, and then we had a two-year hiatus.
Yep, that's right.
All right.
Yeah, so, you know, people aren't super into change, and yeah, but they went along with it, and like John said, I think it was the best one yet, so that was cool.
Would you all say that was the best one so far? You think it was the nicest?
I think it was.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good turnout.
I mean, they've all been a lot of fun, but yeah, this was.
I think good. We also
probably
are
the biggest turnout, I'd say.
Yeah, I feel like we're really understanding how to put a full-on production together as well. You know, not just a bike race, but I feel like a lot of the pieces came together because we're actually an events company now, and
yeah,
I hope it's showing
fun and better.
Yeah.
Now, John Hansen, how was it that you became involved with this, you know, this pair of fun folk?
Well, I've been riding with Charles, training and participating in events. And this last three quarter minus, he beat me by 2 minutes, which is still affecting me.
So he's here you're really here so that he can further shame you? Is that what we're saying?
But it's a test of, you know, it's a test of everyone's ability. And a race may be a misnomer for many of us, but there is a sense of competition even if you're not at the sharp end of the field.
Very good. So old friends, and you enjoy biking and these kind of events, and that's how you came to be involved. And will you be participating in the upcoming event that we're about to talk about?
I have in the past. And it is a true test. The Monarch Grind's a tough one. You climb a lot. I'll probably support it in other ways this year. My son was watching me struggle last year and said, Dad, you're too old for this.
Oh, well, wasn't your son on a motorcycle?
He was.
I don't think that's fair.
So we're going to switch places and
put him on the bike. That's right. Well, that's cool. So old friends and a lot of participation, and you can see the camaraderie in the room. It's very nice.
I'd like to add that John not only participates, but he helps us out quite a bit. John and I always, on all the races, we get out there and we set the course, put all the signs up, directional signs and so forth. And this year, John helped us out with, we have kind of a famous bike rider who's coming up to this Monarch Grind. His name is Tinker Juarez. And he is a legend. He's an Olympian, mountain biker, two Olympics. He's our age. He's 65. And he's still racing. Like, he races every 2 weeks or something. But I sent him a message asking him if he'd want to come up and do our race. He said, sure.
Oh, cool.
And, but he needs support. And John helped us out with getting him up here. And
so accommodations and getting him organized travel.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Susie.
One of the things I'm listening as you talk is the importance of the volunteer crews, because this is not, as you're saying, Sammy, it's a bigger production and it's growing. And you're finding all the different avenues of bringing, you know, quality on. But the volunteers are an essential ingredient. And you mentioned this last one had four aid stations, KLT, KRFY, and a couple others I'm not sure of, three total. So that's a lot of volunteers. And so we could just either now give a shout out or
Yes, it's important. Let's shout out to volunteers and supporters, your partners.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of sponsors.
Go on, Charles.
That I have to read the list here.
He just put his glasses on.
Yes, he did.
You know, we have podium sponsors, Alpine Shop, Pondere Winery, Outdoor Experience, Matchwood Brewing, and Evans Brothers all provide prizes for our top three finishers in each category. KRFY, of course, is a sponsor and a beneficiary. Pondere Peddlers as well. Aseptic provides our porta potties for all our races free of charge, which is great. Bonner County Bikes donated a bike that we are raffling off for the series. Hammer Nutrition out of Whitefish, Montana. They provide all our fueling stuff for the aid stations. Heartbowls provided some coupons, I believe.
Yep.
Schweitzer Mountain, Kinnexu Land Trust, the Squeeze Inn in Clark Fork. That's where we have our after party for the Monarch Grind, which is a quirky, great place.
And so delicious and fun.
Yes.
That's a great place.
The city of Clark Fork, the mayor and the council has been a big help for this year's race. Woods Wheatcroft did our poster for the three-quarter minus. Cora Murray did the poster for Monarch Grind.
And yep, correct. And we've got Lena Haug. And I'm sorry, Lena, I butcher her last name every time. So
she's doing the poster for the Ethers Traverse, which is our third race.
Right.
And, you know, we have lots of volunteers like John and all you guys and tons of Pondere Peddler people who help out with everything.
And it's important to mention, this is a nonprofit endeavor. There's, I don't know how many beneficiaries you have to Pondere Peddlers and our community radio station right here. And we so appreciate that because it makes a big difference because we are funded by donations. So thank you year after year for that.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah.
And what does that mean, beneficiary? We receive a little portion of some of the entry fees.
Yes. So we will donate a certain percentage of the revenue that we get through registrations. And in addition to that, there's donations through the registration process. People can donate directly just as a donation. We have the raffle for the bike and the raffle for the signed framed posters. Those are all raffled off, and those proceeds go to you guys.
So it's a great way that we can partner. We can support you, and you support us. We thank you for that.
We also have a really cool thing set up with Matchwood where we have a week. You can go into Matchwood, order food, get a drink. It is the week leading up to, we'll have to get those exact dates.
Yeah, it's roughly a week surrounding each race. Matchwood, on their point of sale system, they have a donation option there for you guys.
So top off your meal or your drink and help out you guys or Pondere Peddlers.
Mm-hmm. That's great. It's easy, too. And Matchwood, yum, great food. So it's a win-win. I think it's time to start talking about the upcoming event. And if you would, Sammy, tell us the details, the where, the when, what folks will have in store if they sign up.
Yeah, so coming up very soon on June 27th, it's a Saturday, we've got the Monarch Grind out of Clark Fork, Idaho. It's 59 miles, and you'll be parking at Clark Fork High School, climbing up into the Monarch Mountains. Charles, I know I always get pack saddle. Did I get that right finally?
Yeah, so you go up to Johnson Saddle, which is where the aid station, the KRFY aid station will be. And then the riders will basically circumnavigate Pack Saddle Mountain.
Perfect. That was my voice saying all of that. Thank you. And we've got quite the elevation gain. We've got just under 7,900 feet of elevation gain. So it's truly a grind. This is the most elevation gain we have in all three of our races, but it is well worth it. The views of Lake Pondere on the other side of the mountain are just absolutely stunning. And you get quite a long descent to like look at those views, as long as you're not looking at your handlebars and all the rocks in front of you while you're speeding down it. We all rode it actually a couple weeks ago, and we were on a range of tires. This is what all the cyclists are going to want to know. We were on a range of tires from 40 millimeter to 50 millimeter tires, mm-hmm. and we kind of collectively decided that you should ride 45 and up at a lower tire pressure if possible, and you'll be just fine. It's still going to be a grind, but
a little less tire pressure.
A little less, yeah.
So when you're talking about 45 or 55, that's your air pressure?
These are good questions, Julie.
I'm a beginner. I need to have these answers.
I know. We're going to get you into one of the races soon.
I have a proposal coming up for the bikers versus the pickleballers.
Oh, I love this.
This might help us.
Okay. So 45 millimeter is the width of the tire.
I see.
Yep.
So and air pressure is a difference.
Yeah. Gosh, we were riding at maybe, I don't know, 30 to 35 might be good. 35 PSI.
Even lower.
Lower.
Wow. I would say 20.
20 to 30?
In the 20s to 30s.
20 to 30.
Yeah.
All right. So keep it low.
Yeah. So this is kind of a ride of determination. This is a tough one. And folks have to be prepared that it could take a while, and they can take their time, stop at the aid stops, but enjoy the scenery.
Perfect.
How long might a person expect to be cycling on this day?
Yeah. So, you know, our earliest finishers could come through anywhere around that 4-hour mark, and you could be out there for double that length, honestly, 7 to 8 hours. So it really just depends on, I don't know, your fitness, how much you stop and take photos, how much you stop at the aid stations and eat the food. There's just one aid station provided by CareFY. Thank you guys so much. And you hit that aid station twice. So you hit it at about 11 miles, which is at the top of the first climb. And then you do about a 48 mile or so loop around. Oh, no, sorry. Then you do a loop that comes around that's about like 30 miles or so. So around that 48 mile mark, you'll hit it again before your final descent back into Clark Fork.
Okay. So two or three possible stops at our aid station.
Two possible stops for sure at the aid station. Okay. For this race, though, I don't know. I personally like to race it, but I also like to take in the views. And with those views, I always bring a peanut butter and honey sandwich to munch on some real food while I'm racing.
Oh, and lots of water.
Lots of water.
Now, guys, I'd like you to tell me, Charles and John, how long do you anticipate it taking for you to complete? What's likely?
Well, John can probably speak to that better than I can, because I actually haven't done the race. I've ridden the route, but John has done it at least a couple times.
Okay, John.
Yeah, I would say it's around 6 hours.
Okay.
And I've tried it both on a mountain bike and a gravel bike. Gravel bike is rewarding because it goes faster, but is very challenging on the descents. There's a lot of rocks, so the mountain bike's a little easier, but slower, at least underneath me. I think the winner may have won on a mountain bike.
Maybe a combination of that, a gravel bike with some suspension.
Right.
Because I agree. I've ridden it on multiple types of bikes as well. And I went an hour faster on my gravel bike than I did on my mountain bike because it's so heavy going up the hills, is what I found.
I think it's worth the discussion, the difference between a mountain bike and a gravel bike. But before we get to that, a couple of years ago, I manned, so to speak, the aid station with Gene Girth. And it was astounding as people came up and all levels of riders. There was a tandem bike with a dad with his son from Spokane, and the real hardcore, I'm going to win this thing, guys. And everyone seemed to be having a great time. I mean, there was a couple, let's take a break, let's breathe, let's have some water, whatever. But coming down, because they come past the aid station twice, as you said, the person that was in the lead, it was astounding. Watching him it was a blur. And all he did was lift up his hand and kind of wave and was gone. So there's that. And then there's the people that are just having a good old time. Let's just enjoy this beautiful scenery and enjoy the day. So it's a wide spectrum. And it seems like a lot of fun. And this is July 27th?
Correct. Yep. June 27th. June 27th. Wow.
Oh, thank you for
I'm glad, Charles.
It's coming right up. But there's still room to register, I would imagine, too.
Yeah, that's a good point, Susie. The race is capped at 90 participants just with our permitting. So we, as of this morning, I believe have 32 spots left. And like Charles said, Tinker Wars is coming. And I think that a lot of those spots are going to get snatched up because, you know, he's legendary. He's on the cover of like all these old magazines. Two-time Olympian, like Charles said.
We just had somebody whose name I didn't recognize signed up yesterday from...
Mark or something.
From Arizona.
Oh, is that at Arizona? I saw that this morning. Yeah. So I saw he was 58. That's what I remember.
Folks, if they wanted to take one of those remaining spots, how would they register? We'll do this a couple times.
Yeah, the easiest way to get to the registration, mostly because I don't remember the website name.
Our website,
I do. Okay. But the sign up page is Run Sign Up. But the easiest way to get to it is through our website, which is panhandlegravel.com. And if you go there and click on events, you'll see all the events and there's registration links there.
Yes, I just did it this morning and at it.
Did you register?
No, I didn't register quite yet. Now, however, since we're going down that road of whether Julie will ever join one of your events, I had an idea and I want to bounce it off John Hansen first. So John, Charles and Sammy are just great about letting us all know that it's an inclusive event. You don't have to be in your most tip-top condition. You can choose how hard you want to work and just enjoy it. And I believe that, and I hear all of that, but I've been a little timid about signing up for one, and I don't think this would be the one I'll start with. But what do you, John Hansen and Charles Mortensen, what do you think about this? If Julie agrees to at least attempt one of the rides, do you think we could encourage Charles to, one, get his radio show program going, and two, be open to a pickleball lesson with John and me? What do you think of that trade-off?
It's like pulling teeth.
I know. I know it.
When Charles retired, I gave him a pickleball.
He said,
this is your next endeavor.
We're
and
on
a golf
air.
Ball,
We're live
and he hasn't
air.
Responded either.
Oh, well, and he's not really responding right now, is he? Not too much.
I felt like Charles was a dog.
I think that sounds like a good plan. I'd like to learn some pickleball one of these days.
Well,
once my shoulder heals and my neck heals. No,
yes, you did have. Well, in some form, maybe we can work out work out an agreement.
Sounds fun.
See if we can make it happen.
And for someone who's not participated in gravel, which gravel events across the United States, they're growing in popularity. The road racing scenes died off and everyone shifted to gravel. So you're seeing athletes like Tinker Juarez emerge again. But the first one would probably be the 3/4 minus.
That's
great fun.
Yes. And we haven't talked about how great your sag wagons are, but if there were to be an emergency and someone couldn't finish, you do a great job with helping people.
Yeah, we have a support vehicle. It's, like a pickup truck.
Yeah.
That follows all the riders to make sure everybody makes it through. We have people on motorcycles who just kind of go all around checking on people as they go. And then we have, some tools, not a lot. We expect people to be self-sufficient with repairing their bikes if they need to, getting a flat and that sort of thing. But we do have a little bit of help with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's not full on, but if you're not going to just get left on the gravel if you're struggling.
As we're sitting here talking, I'm thinking you could have a clinic about what kind of bike, what's the difference between the two bikes. And I'm sure you're learning as you go along and talking about gravel becoming more and more popular. I think Chafe introduced a gravel ride this year.
Yeah, that ride was actually introduced 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And John and I rode it together, and we had a hoot.
Did.
I don't know if you guys remember when that sneaker snowstorm came through in July 2 years ago. But, John, what were we on top of? We were out in Clark Fork. What pass did we go through?
We were on Lightning Creek.
That's right.
And it because snowed.
And hailed, and
no
I think,
one
too,
was prepared.
No one.
Yeah.
It was carnage. Bob Livingston gave me his snowboarding gloves. That's the only way I was able to descend, is that Trestle Creek, down to that area.
Oh, boy.
We had some people get injured and broken collarbones. But, you know, John and I stuck it out together. And I was going to quit at the bottom of Trestle Creek where that goes back onto the highway. And then the sun popped out, you know, like a little angel. And I said, okay, I'll just warm up in the sun for a little bit. And then I found the backside of John in front of me. And he pulled me all the way to the finish line.
Whoa. Wow.
And I think that was my best racing result yet. David Barth came first and I came second overall.
We had top 10.
That was wild. That was wild.
As we're talking about this kind of rides, you really get people out into the backcountry.
Oh, my God.
And it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing here. That's why we're here a lot of times. And this is an excellent way to get involved and see stuff that you never see.
Yes. And listening to, like, the way that you were able to support each other, it was a tough ride, obviously, weather and conditions, and you made it through, and it turned out to be fun.
I think they call that trauma bonding. So,
trauma bonding, yes.
But that's all right, you know.
You did it.
And like Susie said, it was just an absolutely gorgeous place to be, even with the weather like that. Like, we're smiling the whole time that we're talking about this miserable, or quote, miserable time that we're on this bike, but it's such a great story. And, you know, that's just what these races are. Like, you can't plan what the weather is going to be like on the day, which reminds me, honestly, of Ether's Traverse last year, right? That was, Ether's is our third and final event of the gravel series. And it's in August, middle of August. You know, if anything weather-wise you're expecting to be bad, it's the smoke. But actually, we had just like the mistiest, wettest morning, and it stayed for the entire race, and people were still stoked climbing the backside of Schweitzer.
Yeah, better than smoke, for sure.
Absolutely better than smoke. And you know what? I actually think I prefer to race in colder temperatures. I mean, I would love blue skies, but
yeah.
John, you aren't able to stay with us the entire morning. He's got things to get to. I think I heard a rumor he's playing pickleball in a little bit, but the traitor to the bikers. But before we lose you, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about what you've enjoyed most about doing these types of rides. And obviously, you've been doing them, and you're going to continue. And I'd just like to hear from you.
I would say part of it's a sense of community. If you show up to these events, you see people that you don't see every day, but yet there's a bond, and you enjoy their company and camaraderie. And then it is a challenge. Each one of them is a test. And it's not a test. It's a test within yourself. It's more that than it is competing with other riders. So you end with a sense of accomplishment. And like Sammy, that was probably the coldest I've ever been in my life, that Sammy and I spent that day together. I don't want to do that again, but I'm glad I did it.
Memorable. Yeah.
So... And like you made mention, there's an appeal to all levels. It's not, there are people that are very fast and those that are quite slow, and the joy is equal amongst them.
That's right. Whatever your challenge. And, I mean, just well said, right? It's a challenge. It gives you a reason to get out and train and stay healthy. Oh, and speaking of training, what's a typical training regimen for guys like you? Getting ready.
I think for me, and maybe Charles, we're similar age.
And then Sammy can tell us what
you can't. You can't stop. You're on the treadmill. You just can't let too much time lapse, or it's hard to regain that fitness. So, I find ideally 3 days a week I'm on the bike. There are other sports. You know, as long as your heart rate's up, that's an equivalent.
It's all good. All training.
Right.
Yes, it's helpful.
So it's a great benefit. And you can eat a lot if you train.
That's true.
Nice. That's a good... Well, so there's another positive. Getting in good shape, eating what you like, camaraderie, the beauty. Yeah, it's great. It's nice to have things to look forward to that really challenge you. Okay, Sammy, what is your training regimen? Not for this. We know you're not in this one, but
no, that's all right. For bike races specifically, I like a 12-week build into an event, if I'm being super specific. I kind of follow the 80-20 training rule where you do, you know, 80% of your week is just zone two, pretty easy rides, and then 20% is your more high-intensity, harder workout kind of thing where you're going to, like, really work up a sweat. Yeah, but I think, like, to simplify it, what John was saying, getting out and riding three times a week, and that can be a mixture of gravel biking, mountain biking, road biking. It doesn't all have to be the exact same discipline.
E-biking?
Yeah, absolutely, e-biking. You know, I've done the Monarch Grind on my e-bike just last year because I was supporting and getting some content for our social media channels, and it was actually the most fun I've had on that course because I wasn't dying. So, e-biking is a great tool. It gets you to, you know, go longer. It gets you to the trailhead, so then you can flip that switch off and then just use your full-on human power. But I like to do a lot of mixture of training as well. I like to run a couple times a week. Now that the lake is heating up, you know, swim once or twice. I mean, that'd be a dream. I'm not actually going to be swimming twice a week. But I do strength training twice a week. So, yeah, dream world, bike three times a week, run twice a week, strength twice a week, eat, sleep.
Bike.
Yeah.
Sleep, bike. You know, it sounds both horrible and wonderful, your description. And I think that's the way so many of these types of events are. You challenge yourself. They're hard parts, but you're so glad that you did it. Let's talk about more details of this race. We've talked a bit about the support from motorcycle helpers, and there'll be a little, you know, equipment if you need help. But in general, you want to be prepared. We've just talked about the training regimen. And what else might encourage a person to consider joining y'all for this race? How will they be prepping and getting excited?
I think the squeeze-in party afterwards is going to be a lot of fun.
And pardon me for keeping calling it a race, because I know it's an event. It's not a race. It's a race for a few, maybe, but an event for many.
Yeah. I mean, we like to call it a gravel grinder or a grand fondo, maybe. But they actually, you know, we do a competition where, you know, at the end of it, we crown the top three in the series. So people are getting points for these races or rides, whatever you want to call them. So it is a competition, but it's a fun competition. We're not that serious about it. Some people are, but, you know, it's mostly for the fun and then for the great meal at the squeeze-in at the end of it.
Yeah, and I do think that we have some great prizes. You mentioned our sponsors earlier that support first, second, and third place. And, you know, we've got two local sponsors for each of those positions. But, yeah, we give away some pretty good prizes. Swag bags are pretty incredible. Hammer Nutrition helps us out a lot with those. You know, and it might get confusing because we keep talking about this series and then we talk about races just intermittently. But within our Panhandle Gravel series, there are three races, and it's the main ones that we've talked about, which is Three Quarter Minus, Monarch Grind, and Ether's Traverse. And like Charles was saying, like, your finishing position in each of those events, you'll get points, which then add up to your overall finishing for the entire Panhandle Gravel series. So that's how you'll win those prizes at the very end, which those prizes will be awarded at the Sky House on top of Schweitzer at the culmination of Ether's Traverse. So what a spot.
Oh, no kidding. And what a nice goal if you're becoming a dedicated gravel biker to accomplish all three, to finish all three and maybe contend for that prize.
Yeah. Neat. And I think it's really cool that, you know, we're a small little town here up in North Idaho and that we provide these opportunities for our community members to get outside. And, you know, we stretch a little bit further. We get some people from Missoula, some from Spokane. Like Charles said, I guess a guy from Arizona signed up last night. We were getting some people from Cranbrook and Fernie area previously. Hopefully they come back to us.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they come for the beauty. Do you see a trend toward more and more people participating in this kind of event. It just seems like such a family-oriented, not necessarily these events, but gravel biking, biking in general with, you know, with the fact that we now have e-bikes. So generations, I would think, could get out and bike together. And
yeah, I think, I think, you know, the Chafe, for example, is a pretty good example of that, where they saw the change coming, and that's why they've added these gravel routes to their, you know, they used to be purely road rides. But so I think, you know, that's the way it's going. It's just
right
a little more versatile, a little more attainable, and
you know. And kind of gets you off the trafficy roads, exactly. Which can be a concern for so many of us. It's a concern for me when I think about biking, and what a great alternative. Get out on the quiet back roads and get your exercise and grow into biking.
And then you have organizations like Panhandle, what is it called?
Pondere Peddlers.
Yeah, Pop. Pondere Peddlers. And they're one of our underwriters too here at KRFY. Really promoting off-road biking and trail maintenance. They do a lot of work to make those trails up in the mountains accessible to bikers.
Right.
So a shout out to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can actually ride your gravel bike. That's part of the fun of gravel biking as well. There's a section in the three-quarter minus that is in Pine Street Woods on some single track. And it's just such a fun way to test your limits, or to test the gravel bike's limits, is to see, okay, like, how far can I take this bike? Can I go over that little sneaker jump? I don't know. If you look up videos online of people riding gravel bikes, it's pretty wild to see what they're doing.
That's a good segue into what's the difference between a mountain bike and a gravel bike? Because you're talking about the challenge maybe on a single track trail. What's the difference?
Yeah, so there's a few differences, and I'll speak to some basics, and then I'm sure Charles can get more in depth with that since he's starting a cyclery. But the main differences that I see is that your mountain bike is more slack. So that just means that it's longer. It's got, just like a longer wheelbase, which keeps you lower to the ground. A gravel bike is kind of like a road bike. It just allows you to put on a little bit wider tire, and perhaps the top tube might be different.
A gravel bike is essentially a road bike with more relaxed geometry, so it's a little more comfortable of a ride on a long, wider tires, knobby tires, but basically a road bike with, you know, the drop bars. Mountain bikes typically have suspension front for sure, and usually rear suspension also.
Charles likes to do a combination of these things, though, because he can. He's got a gravel bike that has about 30 millimeters of suspension up front.
Yes.
He's got a fork.
Although I took that off.
Oh, did you?
I have just the rigid fork on.
Oh, I thought that's kind of the dream bike.
But I did put a suspension stem on the cutthroat.
Oh, did you? A stem, like the Redshift stem?
Like you have, yeah.
Ooh. John is actually the one that gave me that. No, you didn't. You gave me your spacers for the Redshift stem. We're getting off track.
John, I'd like to hear, what is your favorite style of biking? What do you like doing best when you're out biking?
Not a fair question.
Why?
They're all so good. I would say if I'm on my gravel bike, it's my gravel bike. If I'm on the mountain bike, it's the mountain bike. And, you know, we have some of us have a luxury with multiple bikes. Charles happens to own a single-speed gravel bike.
Oh, my.
And he's the only person that I know that has one.
Oh, yes. All right. So you won't answer that question, then. They're all good is what you're saying.
They're all good.
Yeah, that's great. And as it compares to other sports that you've participated in, where does biking land for you? Is it like your top most favorite activity?
Or? Biking is the mainstay, always there. Other sports float in and out. Could be seasonal, could be golf, could be surfing, whatever it happens to be. It's an augment to cycling. That's the, for me, is the constant.
It's your kind of key lifestyle sport.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how many friends I have that would answer that the same way. And some are, even maybe a decade or older than all of us, and they will, you know, they will attribute their health to their biking. So
Jim Mallon here.
Oh my gosh. We could say Jim or Jim. David Bransky, who we're naming names, but a lot of our good friends that are really remaining healthy later in life are giving biking that attribution. Susie.
I just want to let our listeners know that this is 88.5 KRFY. It's your community radio station. We are independent and commercial free. And we're sitting here with folks from the Gravel Grind series, tell us.
It's the Idaho Panhandle Gravel Series, and we have the Monarch Grind, which is coming up on June 27th.
And we're speaking with Sammy Berryman, organizers of this year's three race series, Charles Mortensen and John
Hansen. Yes, and he's going. Bye, John.
Bye, John. Thank you.
It was great to meet you.
Thanks, Sean.
We still have things to talk about, so.
Yes, we sure do. Well, we'll continue on without John Hansen. And really, you two are event managers now. You were cycle shop owners and workers, and it's a big change, but it's going to be a great change for the community because we'll see more events, gravel events and biking events as a result of it. And Susie and I have both participated in the aid station, and I have to say they just do a bang up job of making this event welcoming, healthy, safe as an event like this can be, and just memorable.
Yeah,
great.
So
job.
We speaking of cycling events, we do have some others that are outside the series. We just actually yesterday registration opened for two cyclocross races that we're going to be doing this fall.
All right. And what is a cyclocross race?
So cyclocross is kind of an old cycling event that was created back probably over 100 years ago by road racers. And they would race in the off season. They would just go cross country, basically through farmers' fields and over fences and across streams, just as a way of staying fit. And it's evolved into a closed circuit race, typically about about a 2 mile, mile and a half loop, basically, that you do mostly on grass and mud and over streams and over obstacles and such.
Yeah, just a really rough kind of...
Yeah.
And we used to do this at the U of I property before it went away. But we restarted it in large part thanks to Bob Presta, who kind of resurrected it. And we are going to be part of a series that's organized in Missoula. It's called the
MTCX
Super Prestige Series.
Mm, wow.
So we'll have two stops. One will be up in Naples at Bob's property up there on October 17th. And then the next day on the 18th, this is a weekend, at Sled Hill.
Oh, at, fun.
Pine Street Woods.
Right in our own backyard here.
Yeah.
Would you suggest this for a sort of, you know, new to biking events person?
It's pretty open. It's pretty competitive, but it's kind of a sort of, it can be a very fun, kid-friendly event.
I can imagine.
That's like the big, one of the big focuses is kids. Like we have junior categories, like four different age groups and junior categories.
So many yeah.
We have a kids race, which is free.
And yep, then kids under nine are
several different categories for adults as well, including competitive ones. People will be trying to get points to get enough points to go to the national championships. It's a competitive event, but it's also a fun ride event.
And like Charles was saying, getting points to go to a national event, it's a USA Cycling sanctioned event. So that's what he's referring to, which is pretty cool. And just to go further with our categories, there's also a Masters Mountain Bike category, a Masters Single Speed category, the Open category.
Yeah.
And I think the friendliest thing about this race is, yes, it's in town, which is pretty awesome. But $25 to enter, that's pretty great.
And it's very spectator friendly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a party on a bike from the videos I've seen. I've never done a cyclocross race. I've been wanting to for years. You know, I moved here just after Charles stopped his Wild West cyclocross series. Yeah. And that was such a bummer. So I'm really excited to be a part of this and bringing it back with the help of Bob.
Do you intend to enter in it?
I do, actually. I was talking to Bob's son, Roman, the other day, and he said, "Hey, Sammy, I need you to be on my team. Will you buy a race kit with me?"
Wow, so, fun.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't embarrass him. He's a teenage boy.
Well, isn't it nice, though, to have a new event, a new way to enjoy biking that you haven't been able to do yet?
I'm so excited for it.
Right.
Yeah, and just Sled Hill is such an incredible venue. Kinixu has been so lovely of walking through the course with us and just all the help that Reagan and Katie have been. So it's going to be great just to get our community members to explore a lot of their new trails, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I'm thinking about this kind of wild event on your bike up and over logs and cross country, imagine around fences and through woods and this and that. Sort of like the steeplechase.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
fun. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah. Minus the horse.
Yeah.
My goodness.
A horse of a different color.
Yes.
It is.
And I think there ought to be a movie about it. We had National Velvet, if you can all remember, when we were kids, about the steeplechase horse. I think, guys.
Is there?
Yeah.
Charles.
Well, you'll have to run back and watch that, Sammy. I think that
content,
was...
Sammy.
Well, yes. I was going to say, I took a hilarious video of Bob and Charles. We were walking the course about a week and a half ago. And if you go onto our Instagram channel, which is Panhandle Gravel, there's a montage of these two men walking around like young boys getting so excited about what they're going to ride up. And then they're going to curve around like this and shoot down. And you'll get a bit of a vision of what the course is going to be. And it is truly wild, but it's hilarious.
It sounds great. Well, as it happens, every time when we get together with you all, we have a great, relaxed conversation and we cover all the details, but the time flies and we're nearly out of time. Once again, Susie and Charles and Sammy. And so if you would, again, repeat the details of this event for folks who've gotten excited and now want to join, if you would.
So the Monarch Grind is coming up on June 27th. It starts and finishes in Clark Fork with a meal and party and awards ceremony at the Squeeze Inn afterwards. Registration, you can go to panhandlegravel.com and find the links to registration there under events. What else?
It's 59 miles. The elevation gain is 7,879 feet of gain. And it's rowdy, but it's a really good time. And you get stunning views. Yep.
And there's still
32 spots remain.
And so now's the time to go to that website, panhandlegravel.com, and think about registering. If you have any questions, maybe there's a place you can ask the question about, and I'm thinking, as we've been talking, having clinics to teach people about this great off-road situation or gravel road situation that you're offering. So
thanks, Susie.
And then you have your Aethers.
Aethers Traverse is on August 15th.
Okay. One could start training for that right now.
You've got the formula down.
We've got it from Sammy. Oh, and listeners, if you tuned in and out during this hour, know that number one, we are now replaying our morning shows at 2 p.m. So if you need to come back today and hear it again, or you can go to our website, krfy.org, and it'll be loaded as a podcast. So all of Sammy's important training info, learning about Charles and John's favorite
bicycling type,
etc. Susie is kind of spinning her wheels at me saying, let's wrap it up. So I guess we better.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having both of you, Sammy Berryman, Charles Mortensen. And again, KRFY is very appreciative of being one of the recipients of the funding from these races because it makes a difference. Love partnering with you. So, yay.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks
for having us.
That's so great. All right. Well, thanks. Thank you, Charles and Sammy. You guys have a great day. And Susie and I will wrap up the hour. Should we go to a song break, Susie?